Welcome to your hour of the Internet Advisor. And our advisors are in studio. They got their seatbelts on. They're ready to go. That's Mr. Gary Baker, my co-host here for many years. And also we have Ed Rudell in-house and Kel Carson, who, by the way, is our Mac Apple expert. And I see a lot of things going on with Apple this week, a lot of headlines around Apple this week.
Macs are people, too. you know, when you got $170 billion, people tend to pay attention to you. I don't know why.
That was funny. Somebody was saying the other day, because one of the rumors is out, is that Apple has got this Project Titan going, which is that they're developing an electric car. And somebody said, heck, with all the money they have in the bank, why don't they just buy the big three and get this over with?
and a small country, too.
Oh, it's incredible the amount of
money.
Well,
the funny thing that I heard the other day was that, okay, yeah, fine. So now Apple's going to make a car. That means like every 2 years we'll be turning the car in and getting another one, just like we do with the phone.
Upgrades. Hey, we have upgrades then. They are getting into the software business in cars, right?
Oh, yeah.
With this. What's it called?
CarPlay.
CarPlay, that's right. Which will be part of the software that's playing in a lot of cars, different models of cars. Mm-hmm. They said, so essentially it looks a lot like your iPhone. And you'll have the same interface there that, you know, so people are.
I mean, it makes sense. Automotive companies are great at developing cars and you know, road safety and engineering that. Yeah. But, you know, when you get to the individual, you know, customization of a user interface.
Right.
You know,
they are much better.
This is no different than any other supplier for the auto industry. You know, the auto companies are assemblers, right? And they assemble good technology from a lot of companies. And this happens to be, you know, in information technology as opposed to, you know, great technology in brakes, right?
Yes. Or engines. Yeah. It's all in the infotainment sphere.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was thinking something about the cybersecurity. Right. And because it last week there was, you know, there was disclosed about how easy it was. I think 60 Minutes had that article, but they did not disclose the vehicles. But
how easy it would be to hack into these.
It wasn't
systems.
Easy, but if you knew the tricks,
you got to be careful. Somebody was saying, you know, remember when they were taking pictures of a German leader's fingerprints and being able to use that to get into their iPhone? First of all, you got to get their iPhone from them.
Yes.
Right. And second of all, oh, guess what? You can't just hold a piece of paper over that. You need the actual thumb with the thumbprint.
Yes.
So it really. So it was just bull. It was. See, I did that so that they didn't have to beep that out. I stopped.
Right. It was more.
It was very talented, very Gary. Good. I'm impressed. You know,
it was more sensational reporting than actual fact.
It was not fact at all.
Slow news day.
We're seeing that again with hacking into cars now.
Well,
theoretically possible.
You have vendors out there like BlackBerry and Apple and Microsoft that are developing interfaces right now and the Android operating system, and they have years of experience in protecting their mobile devices.
They're talking about this in terms of the Internet of Things as well, that security has got to be part of the software now as well. Let's go to our first caller, Linda, who is calling us from Lincoln Park. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Okay. Good afternoon, Foster. I've called before, and you've always been helpful, and so this time I'm going to pick your brain on something connected to computers instead of exactly computers.
Great.
I had kind of a debacle with my Internet provider, and I'm not going to say who it is because they did resolve it. And but I work from home 100% of the time, and I need to know a backup internet provider that I could get. Now I don't know whether to think that this was kind of unusual, and that I had two different techs on two different days, and actually a team working on it.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out in this cold weather they were up in the pole. They rewired my back of my house where connection is. And they had to go on the pole two separate times. And there was an outage on Wednesday. There was another outage on Thursday. And they kept saying it was an outage that was causing the problem. And then they thought it was a modem. And then they tested the strength. And what it ended up being last night at close to 7 o'clock in the dark on the pole was a software glitch.
A software glitch on their end?
I
was going to say a squirrel.
On the pole. And they had to get guys in. They had so many teams of people. They had somebody working on an outage. They had my guy in the basement.
Wow.
And then they finally only resolved it like about 20 to 7. He came in the house and he said, I believe, and I have somebody coming, and they got there within 10 minutes. I don't know where they, I'm from Lincoln Park. I don't know where they came from. I mean, were they hanging out there or what? But they climbed up there, and the guy came from the pole within 15 minutes, and he said, it's fine, and we connected.
Okay, but the thing is, it sounds like you got excellent customer support.
Yes.
But what you're interested in is,
what
can
I
do?
I had customer service during the day. I did not at night.
Okay,
and,
but
and what, I squealed about that.
Okay, Linda, hang on.
Hang on.
Your question is then, how to get a backup internet service provider.
Yes.
Regardless
Foster,
of who you
they
are.
They suggested, one of the people I talked to suggested I go to Business Comcast. And they said that they would have to call me back. Well, once I got my interview, I looked at that, and I don't think that's for me. I'm not necessarily a business.
Not.
And he
said
it was $10 more a month. Gary would suggest, I listen all the time, Gary would suggest to get a Wi-Fi hotspot. So I looked at that, and I mentioned it to the girl who answered the phone, because I understand you would have to have a Wi-Fi enabled phone. I have a dinosaur phone. It's 10 years old. I don't ever use it. I mean, I work from home. It's just a no contract phone. I load it once a year for $100. So Gary always says use a Wi-Fi phone. So that would work in a pinch.
Okay,
so
Linda, hang on a second.
My boss has a gizmo through Verizon. It looks like a thumb drive.
That may be your result. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you on hold for a sec. When we come back, You've given us a lot of background. Let's put our heads together in the break, guys, and come up with maybe 1, 2, 3 kind of things. This is a good question. What kind of backup can you use for a provider for somebody who is depending on getting that service and their home for a business? Back with that in a moment. Entering your questions at 800-859-0957. Toll free from anywhere within the sound of our voice. By the way, in studio with us from the first hour is Vince Malevsky, who is the boss at Visual Compass. Glad to have you here. And Courtney Jones was on staff there as well. Now, Linda had called and asked us about working from home and having problems with her major supplier of her internet connection. She says, what can you have? Now, she got service from that person for the problem they have. But
which
her question
was
is based,
which was very unusual.
Yes.
And you usually have a power outage more often than you would have that kind of a problem at the pole.
Yeah.
Right?
But what, and Linda, we're going to kind of summarize this thing to get quickly so we can get on to Jim and Ed, who are waiting to get on the line as well with their questions. But the issue is, what happens if I go down with my one provider? Where do I go? A backup provider is what I need. We kind of did a poll, right, guys?
Yes. We have 1, 2, and 3 options and answers.
Now, right? The first thing I thought is if you want backup, you're going to have to pay for backup.
Right?
Either get a smartphone, have a mobile hotspot. But you guys came up with some better ideas. I was thinking, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Right. Vince, what was your suggestion?
No, it's Cal, I think, has the next best.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Please, Cal.
Okay,
fine. All right, here's the deal. Linda, you are a Comcast user, and because you're a Comcast user, you have the ability to use any Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspot you can find in the area, anywhere you go. And so if you're not locked to a desk and you have a laptop, you can leave that location you're at, and any place that you can pick up an Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspot at, you can log on with your ID from Xfinity and use that Wi-Fi hotspot absolutely free because it's part of your monthly
charge. Because she lives in Lincoln Park, because most of her neighbors are less than 60 feet away, so you may not even have to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the other thing, Linda, is I have Vince, pardon me, what was your solution?
Oh, the next best thing is to go to a local coffee shop and use their service.
You can use that. There you have the possibility of some man-in-the-middle kind of attacks and things like that. I have two solutions. I'm a Comcast customer, so I have that ability to get to any of the Xfinity spots. I work from home as well. I also have an AT&T phone. Now, you're going to have to pony up, as Ed said, put some money out. And I have a smartphone, and it can become a hotspot on its own.
Yep,
so
you can tether it.
If Comcast goes down, I have AT&T system that I can turn to. I turn my phone into a hotspot. I connect my laptop or desktop to that, and boom, I'm in business. Do you get those solutions then, Linda?
Yeah, cell phone, not a landline, right?
No, it's not a landline. It's a cell phone, and it becomes a hotspot then.
It's a smartphone.
Smartphone. That's very important. A smartphone.
Yeah.
And nowadays, with they're taking the caps off the data, you can get a lot of use out of that. So
And Linda, I have the better idea.
Okay.
And that is, and I think you thought that I you. you had the answer that I would give, and you're probably right in some respects, but I came up with a better answer. If none of those other things work and you don't want to get a hotspot and you don't have a laptop so you can't go somewhere else, I would declare a snow day.
You can. If you don't leave the house, you can't have a snow day or a cold day.
Yeah, you know, just declare a snow day and don't work.
I thank you very much, and none of you mentioned getting dial-up service.
No.
See, I was thinking about that.
No. You can get very good service now on on using your smartphone in particular as a hotspot. So, Linda, thank you very much for that call.
I don't even think you can get dial-up anymore.
Just POTS, plain old dial-ups?
I'm not sure you can.
They've been.
That's a good question.
I mean, I had it darn near to the end, and AT&T even weaned me off of it.
I had a call yesterday from somebody in Texas, and it came through with a 734 area code.
Wow.
And, showed up on my phone as 734. And really, they're coming through the internet right up to the very end. If they had known they were calling, they could have come right to my phone.
Our old friend Paul Senior, who used to live in Harbor Beach, is now down in Houston. And very often, when he connects with us, it's his.
Well, this is a business phone where they just use that local phone to come up.
Isn't that kind of like what Google Phone does?
Yep.
And same thing with Vonage. I could take my Vonage and go anywhere in North America, and it'd still be a 248 area code.
It's astounding what you can do with it.
Anyway,
Jim from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we help you with?
I hear you guys always talk about malware and spyware, and I know that I think you say you like malware bites. Is it worth it to pay for the premium service from them?
From whom, please? Oh, you mean just in general?
Malware bites. I don't know if we can tell you because we've never done it. We always use the free version.
Yeah, we always use the free version because the real version will provide real-time protection.
That's the difference.
And when I was doing the 30-day trial, it does stop stuff.
Yep.
So for $25, it used to be $25 for a lifetime subscription.
I think is it for the lifetime now?
I don't know if it's still
$25
lifetime.
$25 a year.
That's what I thought.
To be lifetime. So I love how they changed those things.
Well, because it got better.
Well, Gary, you were saying this. You got to pay for the development. Malware Bytes was free for a long time. A lot of AVG, our old friend there, and eventually they had to pay the bills, to keep up with the bad guys.
And Macian, who developed Malware Bytes, has been on the show. We love the product. It continues to be free, I've only used the free version.
I have too.
Yeah, because I really don't get that much spyware or adware on my computer. But then again, I'm cautious. But every once in a while, I'll have to go out and download a fresh copy of Malware Bytes, install it, and scan, and it removes it.
And just know that, folks, when you're downloading it, you will be given that choice of doing the 30-day trial with the full thing. And you want to avoid that if you don't want to be hassled at the end of 30 days. Go ahead.
Well, no, what happened, that's what I don't know if it was, it didn't seem like it was 30 days, but it might have been, and then it just came up on the screen that, your trial is ending in 7 days. Like I say, how this all came about was, I get a telephone call telling me that they're from Microsoft, which I thought was crazy, and they're telling me that you've got a bunch of spyware and malware on your computer, and the end of the spiel, when he told me where to go and I looked it up, I never gave him control of the computer, but where he told me to look it up, there was a couple things there that were red flag. And then at the end, he's telling me, well, this is from Microsoft, and it's $200 for the service. And I said, no, that's all right, thanks. I hung up on him, and I said, I remember hearing you guys talk about Malware Bytes, so I went there and I downloaded. And it does seem like it did help my computer speed up somewhat. But as far as spyware, is there anyone better than another, or are they both malware and spyware?
Well, Cal had a comment first, and then we'll maybe talk about that. Go ahead.
I think that if you're really satisfied with the product that Malware Bytes, and it's doing the job for you and you're happy with it, we have to all remember that these companies can't exist without funding from somewhere. And if you're really, really happy with their product, I think spending $25 on it and having it take care of you
good investment.
Is a good investment, and it helps to support the cause.
Yeah, it breaks down to not very many dollars.
And also, we need to tell people that we use Malware Bytes and CombiFix kind of in combination.
I was going
to
say, very often, Ed, when I get a really nasty, I'm working with somebody who's got a really nasty infection, I'll run Malware Bytes. Then I run CombiFix, and that cocktail seems to do it.
Right, and I really haven't found anything better. I mean, years ago we would do Adaware, but nothing there anymore. Super Anti-Spyware is actually still pretty good. Yep. I mean, sometimes if Malware Bytes doesn't pick something up, Super Anti-Spyware will catch a few rogue things. But really, that's just the number one on my list.
Kel?
The other thing is, who provides your internet service to you?
Comcast, and I'm with Norton.
Okay.
You know, you can try that. It comes with your subscription to Comcast. If you find it's doing the job for you, great. If you find it's not doing the job for you, take it off and try something different.
And if you really want to be safe, get a Mac, right?
Although, I had my first adware issue just last week on my Mac.
I did, too. I have, too. Trovi, that yep. Trovi bug yep. that was in there, and my browser hijack. That's the first time I've had it.
I never go to those websites, so I don't know.
Oh, get out of here.
Adware Medic was what I used to fix
Adware
my
Adware Medic? Okay, I use the Clam XAV. Mm-hmm. And the Macs even now are getting that problem.
Everybody has yep. a chance of getting yep.
And they're infected. Coming in often through the web. You know, you go to a site that's poisoned.
This was an install on another program.
Yep. And
yep.
It comes along with an install on it. So basically, there's no free lunch.
Right. You know, and I downloaded a utility that I used a few years ago for capturing live video and sound. I wanted to capture a webcast, and it was poisoned with some stuff. And it wasn't a year ago. And,
yep.
And you know, luckily, my Microsoft Security Essentials caught it.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and by the way, Microsoft products, if you have Microsoft product out there, and you have Windows 7 or 8.1, you are already protected with Windows Defender or Microsoft Security Essentials. Jim, thanks for your questions. Very good one that I hope will help other people. Just a quick reminder to you that our homepage, which is internetadvisor.net, is a great source for you all week long. If you take a look at it right now, we have four news items. You have to scroll down a little further about some big things that have been happening this week in terms of the news. The FAA has put out proposed new drone rules, and it could be kind of big in terms of what happens in the near future. Microsoft released a tool that will be able to remove the Superfish, which was installed. It was like crapware that was installed on Lenovo's, I think it was.
It was on Lenovo's, and what happened was is that supposedly the way that it stored information on there mm-hmm. could be exploited by someone else.
Yeah. And it was a browser hijack, I think, essentially, in the end. Yeah, search hijack kind of thing.
Yes.
And it was on Lenovo's, and it was deemed to be kind of dangerous. Hey, folks, our number again is 800-859-0957. We're here until 6 o'clock, so lots of room for you. And again, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Very often, as you ask a question, you're helping a whole lot of other people as well. So jump on board, and let's get back this time to Ed from Southfield. Ed, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, I have a couple of laptops, one running Vista, and the other one running Windows 7.
Okay.
They were barely infected with malware, so I ran a full system recovery on both mm-hmm. to restore them back to factory specifications.
Okay.
Everything is going all right on both, except I can't update Internet Explorer 8, which came with both, because mm-hmm. I can't find a Windows Service Pack 1. I go to Microsoft's site, and mm-hmm. they don't seem to be offering Service Pack 1, so you can't update a lot of software without Service Pack 1. Is there any way?
Have you been receiving regular updates from Microsoft? I mean, after you did the factory reset and you connected the laptops back to the internet, usually what happens afterwards is Microsoft is going to start pushing a whole bunch of updates to your computer. Yeah. Has that portion already, or has that already started happening?
Oh, yeah. That's been done.
Okay, good.
I did this like 2 weeks ago. So
okay, good.
And you got all those updates came back to you.
Yeah, all the updates that are available. But
Well, the one of them that should come down eventually is the service pack. So as an example, which Windows 7, so you're saying your laptop was Windows 7 original and it has no service packs applied, and you wanted to be able to download Microsoft Service Pack 1 for Windows 7.
For Windows 7, also for Vista.
Well, yeah, you have to search on them individually. But, Cal, how do they usually phrase that? I'm trying to remember. So it's like if you just, you know, Microsoft Windows 7.
I did a Google search and Windows Vista Service Pack 1. And it gave me a link to Microsoft.com. And if you go to Microsoft.com to their download server and search on that, you can find it and download it right there.
Okay.
It's knowledge base, or known as KB936330.
Unfortunately, I did that, and
it's failing to install.
Well, yeah, it failed to install. It's there, but then when I went through the installation procedure, it just wouldn't happen.
Well, the one thing is that. Well, have you confirmed what service pack your computer is right now? Because one of those downloads that you may have already been put at service pack 2 and not even realize it. So have you confirmed what's where you're sitting at right now?
I don't see any service packs. I looked through the update history.
Well, okay. Well, this is what you do. Instead of going through the updates, if you find a My Computer icon in your desktop or even in your Explorer bar, if you right mouse click on your My Computer and select Properties, then you will see it'll say Windows Edition, Windows 7, Personal, and then right below there, Service Pack 1 or Service Pack, you know, or if there's no Service Pack.
So what does it say? Do you?
So if you right mouse click on My Computer and select Properties, it should be...
It should tell you.
It should tell you right there.
It says no Service Pack.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're saying that you've gone, like Cal described, and you've attempted to download them. Are you saving the downloads to your download folder, or are you just selecting Run?
Run.
Yeah, you should probably save that into your downloads first, and it's going to be a smaller file, and then run it from there. After it's done, then select Run, and do that. The other thing you can do is also make note of what the size is. Microsoft distributes service packs many different ways. There's the way that you and I would receive it at home, but there's also you can download the enterprise version of the service pack, something that at a large corporation, they want to, you know, it's something that they put on their servers and they distribute to all their workstations inside the corporation. And it may be a 500 megabyte file. What Microsoft gives home users is a small little file that's maybe 100 megabyte, and then it downloads the rest of the stuff. But if you wanted...
It explained that. You know, I followed their procedure.
Oh, really? And it's still failing?
I'm a little concerned. Here's what I'm concerned about. Why did you put these machines back to factory settings?
Because they were running very slow. I mean, I've done this before because I've had these machines 6 or 7 years. I recovered them both before without any problems.
Without any incidents.
It seems like that they're not supporting the Service Pack 1 anymore.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. Something else is going on here.
Yeah, I was.
Have you tried another computer? Have you tried another computer in the household or a friend's house and re-downloaded it onto a flash drive and then tried putting it on your computer? I'm just concerned that maybe the download's being poisoned by something else. Like maybe your antivirus software is interrupting it, or maybe you have malicious software that's already installed on your computer.
Mm. And yes, when I recovered them both, I didn't reinstall any.
Okay.
Virus software.
Oh, that's good. So have you got antivirus software installed? Well, you know, Windows 7 comes with
Microsoft Security Essentials.
So that should be pretty good.
I'm wondering if maybe like his rootkit got installed in that. Would that have been wiped out by doing a reboot?
By a factory restore? Or, yeah, it would have got wiped
factory
out.
Okay, restore,
so there wouldn't be anything left over.
No residue after that.
You know something? We have a mystery here. Now, I want to just say something quickly. Our number, 800-859-0957, is for answers as well. Sometimes we get stumped like this. If somebody out there is listening and has some idea about this or has some experience with this...
This would be a good idea. This would be a good time to call.
Good time to call.
Also, if Ed would be kind enough to email us...
Yes.
And specify what he talked about, I will email back to him directly the link to where I download that.
So,
from.
Ed, let's do that. Let's do a couple things there. I want to get you to email us... just go to internetadvisor.net, hit the contact us button, and send us your question. And then what we'll do is we'll do more research on it as well during the week. But if there is somebody right now who can help us with an answer to this, 800-859-0957.
The other thing is it'd be important to find out what the error message is. Microsoft would keep a log file, and what we need to do is then find out how to look at that log file and find out why is it failing.
Yeah, we want to get you rolling again, Ed. Okay? Do that for us, all right?
Thank you
very much. And there you got it, folks. It's an example of we're really stumped by this kind of thing. We'll do some more research.
Yeah, he's done quite a bit, and he's done everything we could have. But we our eyes aren't looking at it. And a lot of times there's visual cues that we may have seen that he may not have noticed, or he hasn't relayed to us.
Exactly. But again, we love to hear from people who have experienced. Sometimes we have very knowledgeable people who have been into computers for a long time. They kind of listen to our answers and grade us on it, but this is a great time for them to call in and, right. and help us with this one. Vince from Northville, welcome to Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, this is what I've got going on. I have AVG on my computer, and the guys that work on my computer do a phenomenal job, and they referred that I got this. I've had it for 4 or 5 years, never had a problem. You had a lot of people tell me about Norton and the other ones, but the deal that they've told me about Norton is very cumbersome and it takes up a lot of space.
Yes.
And they told me when it comes to security and, you know, things like that for like firewalls and stuff, AVG is kind of like the Camaro or the Ferrari. It's light, high speed, and gets the job done. And I would just like to know what your opinion is on that, as far as, you know, for like the malwares and stuff out there. Mm-hmm. I did take down the combo bits.
Combo fix, malware bytes.
I'm going to do those when I get home.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Ed, let me just interrupt you for a second, Vince. Ed has created a really good, it's called the toolkit that's on our homepage. And Ed, maybe you can tell what's inside of there.
Yeah. Within the toolkit on the internetadvisor.net, we have free antivirus listings, free anti-spyware listings, including AVGs on there, Avast, and then, of course,
Combo Fix
and stuff like that. Now, we used to recommend, and still do, AVG. Mm-hmm. If you get the purchased version, that's well. I mean, mm-hmm. it's free,
yep.
But you get more benefits if you use the purchased version.
Yeah, I've got the purchased version.
And you stop receiving those nags.
Yep.
Right.
By the way, Ed, what system are you running, by the way? Windows?
I bought an HP Pavilion about 2 years ago. And, you know, before that I had a Dell. And I just picked up an HP printer.
I was talking more about, I will put you on hold, Vince. I want to find out what the operating system is that you're using. We'll be back with that in just a moment. I'd like to thank Shannon for being here, answering the phones for us. Shannon, good to see you. She's very many talented person. She's also an engineer, but Rich Lozenski is our engineer today. Gary, Ed, and Cal are in here answering questions. We're going to be taking Karen's question to Novi. Room, by the way, for another call before we wrap things up here at 800-859-0957. Quickly, for Vince, we found out he is running Windows 8.1 on a brand new Pavilion. So he didn't know this, but I was telling him, and the rest of you should know, if you bought a new computer with Windows 8.1 on it, Microsoft has built all the security into it. What used to be Microsoft Security Essentials that you had to download has been built into it, and it's called Windows Defender. And you will see in your daily updates, every day you're getting Windows updates to Windows to the definitions for Windows Defender.
Unless, I am so confused because I have an older machine, like a Vista machine, that has Windows Defender in it too.
Because you can download that. You could download it as an addition. For instance, we would tell people who had Vista or Windows 7, download Microsoft Security Essentials.
And they would get Defender.
And they would get the Defender.
Ah.
And that Defender was out there as kind of like Microsoft's answer to some of those problems.
But a lot of OEMs, when you do the factory restore from the OEM, their pre-installed McAfee or Norton or whatever will have Microsoft's disabled, and you'll have to use their pre-installed manufacturer. But the nice thing about Windows 8.1 is that after you uninstall the 15-day trial or whatever, Microsoft says, you have no antivirus. Would you like us to re-enable your firewall and your Microsoft antivirus? Yes, please.
Is it true? I was telling Vince that you had to be careful about battling antivirus programs will battle one another. Mm-hmm. So something is being disabled, right? If he paid for AVG.
Ed.
So that's disabled the Windows, right?
Probably, if he installed it.
Yeah. So I was saying, he could probably go into his settings on AVG.
Like he really likes it, though.
Okay.
So, you know, Windows Defender is excellent, but he has a lot of tech support people that have told him they love AVG for the last 5 years, and he feels comfortable with it, and he feels protected with it. So that's important, too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this note, and I just realized what is going on here. Mike in Toledo is suggesting that the gentleman that's having problems downloading the fix for the service pack from Microsoft to make sure that his clock is set and it's in sync with Microsoft's clock in order to get those downloads to come down on
his
updates.
Oh, my gosh. That burns me every time.
Why is that important?
He's right.
Well, yeah, I know. Definitely in environments with Active Directory, for some reason or another, Microsoft has set it up in such a way where if there's more than a minute or 2 minute
variance. If it's like 30 minutes, if your clock on your PC is 30 minutes off from Microsoft, you will not be able to install service packs.
How do you solve that then?
Look at your watch and click on your clock.
You can also go into the time settings on your PC and link it up with the National Time Service.
Well, what you could do is if you go in there, it'll say automatically sync the clock with.
Yes.
You uncheck that box, it'll open up that field and type in time.microsoft.com.
Excellent.
And it'll sync it with Microsoft's clock.
Okay. Yep. And if you're in the wrong time zone, but yet you've forced your computer, say your computer is set for Pacific. You've set it for Eastern, it's only 5:30 right now. Right. You will not get any updates. But the thing is, I really don't know if this will apply because he said he's been receiving all of the Microsoft updates up to the point and he just cannot install a service pack. So maybe it's a compound thing. Maybe he stopped receiving updates because his clock's off.
But I will say this, that, and I was having problems with time not being the same on a laptop. I went in then to the settings on time and date, and then you can automatically make it link to the National Time Service, I forget what that's called,
you
or whatever.
You can pick any time server you want that's publicly broadcasting, you can link to.
Exactly. And then what you're saying, too, is you can uncheck that box and then type in time.microsoft.com. What it does then is your computer automatically syncs up to that time service. That's critical, folks. Critical for getting all of your stuff down. You can't be off time.
Yep, that's very, burned, very, that's very burned important. Me so many times. Something so simple.
It is. Okay, let's go to Karen in Novi. Karen, how you doing? How can we help you?
Hi, great. I heard you mention something about browser hijacking, I think you called it. Reference Lenovo laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Is something on Lenovo systems that those of us using Lenovo systems should be looking for?
These are, I think, new Lenovo devices. Eddie, am I right on that?
I hope so, because I have a Lenovo that's only a year old home. But I don't remember this. What was the name? Snapfish?
Superfish.
Superfish. And I don't remember seeing that. The thing is, there is no uninstall program. So we're waiting. Right now, the internet and social media and other vendors are going, shame on you, Lenovo, for installing a product that could potentially put your users and your customers at risk. What we're waiting for is Lenovo has said that they'll release a utility to uninstall that. So that's what we're waiting for. And as soon as we hear about it, we'll put it on the Internet Advisor's website.
But Microsoft has already as well. I'm trying to get to that article. Yes.
Well, I just looked on here. BBC.com is now, just 4 hours ago, said that Lenovo is releasing a uninstaller for that Superfish for Lenovo computers.
Right. Oh, here's the article I had. If you go to our Facebook page, Internet Advisor on Facebook, the first article that's there right now is Microsoft updates Windows Defender to remove the Superfish infection. The article says, boy, that was fast. And it certainly was. Within 24 hours, they had released something.
But what that's saying is that the integrated antivirus that's provided with Windows 8, Microsoft has updated their virus database to actually scan for it and remove it. For users that aren't using Microsoft's antivirus software, they're going to have to wait for Lenovo to provide a utility.
And if you go to Lenovo's website, you can download that patch to take care of it at this time.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
So this says the Microsoft Security Response Team can move very quickly. And the tech world exploded Thursday with the revelation that Lenovo had pre-installed an adware program called Superfish Visual Discovery on an unknown number of its consumer PCs. So these are new ones. With the extra bonus, I love this, of a local root certificate that posed a frightful risk to owners of the affected machines. This is an article by a guy I love called Ed Bott,
right,
who has excellent stuff.
So this software is just an add-on piece of software, but the problem is how they always use that same root certificate on everyone's computer. And what the security industry is worried about is that someone's going to develop a virus or a Trojan that takes advantage of this common root certificate that's on all of these Lenovo laptops,
right?
And and possibly infect people's computers. Not that the super or that Superfish is itself is a virus. They're worried about someone's going to target it because of this common root certificate that's distributed on all the computers.
Basically, the vulnerability to the actual thing. So if she goes to support.lenovo.com, right there on that page, it'll tell you, it has the uninstall instructions and the tool to do it.
Okay. And I don't know, where would this show up? Would it show up in her, like, where all the programs are in the...
I don't know. Okay. Oh, in the programs and features?
Yeah. What kind of, you have a Lenovo, what operating system are you using, Karen? Karen?
Oh, mine is a T400, so it's a couple of years old.
No, what is the operating system? Windows 7, Windows...
7.
Windows 7, okay.
Yeah.
Then in the control panel, you should be able to go to...
Programs and features.
Programs and features, and take a look and see if Superfish shows up there.
You know, she could just run the tool, and it'll just go through and check
it
anyway.
That's true. Just go to that site, which is support.lenovo.com. And it's called Superfish. That's the title of the virus, and that should put your mind
as opposed to Super Freak.
Karen, thank you much for calls.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a great show today about crowdfunding in our first hour. And by the way, on Sunday night, I'll be publishing the podcast of this. And you can now, we've repaired our feed to iTunes, and you can subscribe to it through iTunes or any of your download services. And matter of fact, you can get it directly from our homepage on Sunday night. That's the podcast of our program today. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, my co-host Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson, and the folks behind the glass to make this program possible. We're all very delighted that you've joined us this week. Look for us next week here on WJR.